Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Amen. Lord, we give you praise and worship you. Thank you for your presence. We honor your name. You are magnificent. Bless our name. Can we lift our hands in 1 minute and just bless the name of the Lord from the depths of our soul? Give him all the praise. Just bless his name. If you are seated, kindly stand up and lift your hands everywhere. Lift your hands to the Father. Just in 1 minute. Just lift your hands and give God praise. We bless your name, Father. We extol your name, Spirit of the living God. Rabashadabu Siprahanda Shakabanadiya. I can hear you in 1 minute. Sometimes our souls can be indisciplined. Our souls sometimes don't know how to appreciate God. Command your soul to Shabbat the Lord this morning. Command your soul to praise the name of the Lord. Go ahead. Command your soul. Command your soul to bless the Lord. We will flow, Spirit flows. We will flow where the 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 Spirit flows. Shabaragabaya. We will do what the Spirit says. 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 We will go where the Spirit leads. 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 Oh, we will do what the Spirit says. We will do what the Spirit says. We will do what the Spirit says. We will hear what the Spirit says. Oh, Rabba Shalagarabaya. Command your soul to bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefit. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Go ahead. Bless his name, bless his name, bless. Bless his name. Listen, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. I can see some of you just looking around, and I perceive some of you may be wondering. You may be wondering why people are this serious praising God. Some of you may be wondering why we are looking haphazard, you know, all confused in your own language, praising God like this. But you must first realize that your soul can be very indisciplined. Your soul, a lot of times, can be very ungrateful. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why David commanded his soul to bless the Lord. If you don't know who had been doing something in your life, he will not continue doing it. The person that has been doing it will not continue doing it. You have to recognize. If you know what you do, you recognize. And anytime we thank God, we are saying, God, we recognize your hand in our lives. We are not foolish. We are not ungrateful. We know you had been the one through the years. Are we together? And that's why sometimes you hear me use this word. I said, command your soul to bless the Lord. It's amazing, but if you check your life, you can see the hand of God everywhere in it. Even some of you that haven't yet to be born again, if you check your lives, you should have been dead by now. With the kind of risks you have taken, you should not be alive today. Somehow, God has been protecting you. Somehow, someone out there, your mother or somebody, has been praying for you. But we cannot give the credit to your mom or dad so much than we can give the credit to God Almighty. Because if he considers our sins and our mistakes, then he would have not listened to the prayer of either your father or your mother. Are we together? And so for the last time, everyone lift your hands and learn. Command your soul to bless the Lord. Command your soul to bless the Lord. Command your soul. Let your hands be lifted up everywhere. The Bible said the lifting of our hands is like the evening sacrifice. Tell the Lord, I recognize your hand in my life. And I give you praise. You are not being religious. You are being grateful. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. I can hear you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, with a song from my heart. Declare his goodness, his kindness, his favors from age to age. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Command your soul with a song from my heart. Declare his goodness, his mercies, his favors from age to age. Oh, na 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 na. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, with a song of my heart. Declare his goodness, his kindness, his mercies from age to age, yeah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, with a song from my heart. Look at His goodness, His favors, His mercies from age to age. Just the voices. Making melodies in your heart unto God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. With a song of my heart, declare His goodness, His favors, His kindness from age to age. Hey, Anabo Sharabe. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul. With a song of mine. Declare His goodness, His favors, His kindness from age to age. I had the song the moment I took the mic. I had the song. Shalom, shalom, Yeshua, shalom, shalom, shalom. You're awesome in this place. Shalom, shalom, Yeshua, shalom, shalom, shalom. You are mighty in our midst. Shalom, shalom, Yeshua, shalom, shalom, shalom. You're welcome to your bride. We are your bride. We are your bride, your bride, your bride. You're welcome to your bride. Lord, we are your bride. We are your bride, your bride, your bride. You are welcome to your bride. Thank you, Father. I sense the mighty hand of God in this place tonight. I sense it so strong. I don't know how to explain it, but for some of you, it may not be super ordinary, but God is doing so much tonight. So much tonight. On Christ alone, our chief cornerstone, no other foundation can be built upon. Not philosophy, nor the wisdom of man, all of the crown,
all of the ground is sinking sand.
Crucified,
raised up from the dead, let captivity party, it is finished.
The King,
oh, He gave us the King.
His authority.
His authority.
Now we are joined here.
Now we are joined there. To the praise of His glory, glory upon this rock. You build.
And in
Jesus' name, we will not fall.
Never fail.
Build your trust. Build your trust. Build it from the ground up. Build your trust. Build your trust. Build your trust. Build it from the ground up.
Lord, we thank you for your presence. Can we kindly sit down? Every one of us, just kindly sit down. Hallelujah. We'll just start very fast. Today is our Vision Sunday. Amen. And I'm excited because today we're going to cast the vision again. Hallelujah. Remember what the Bible said in Habakkuk 2 and 2. Let's see it if we can. Habakkuk 2 and 2. Is it then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Let's see it in the TBT rendition. How about the Amplifier rendition? So the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will what? Run with it. Amen. Because the Bible had said to us, it said, where there is no vision, it said the people what? Perish. The root word there in Hebrew means a lot of things. Perish there is not, it doesn't solely means that you will die. That's not what it means solely. It means you'll be lukewarm. It means you'll be lazy. It means you'll be slothful. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you in church? Are you people in church over this side? Because you see, if some of you wanted a first class degree, how many of you want to make a first class degree? There's no a lot of hands. It seems some of them, we even force them to raise their hands up. Alright. Maybe some of us are already in 400 level. Or 300 level. So we don't see the possibility of that happening. How many of you are in 100 level? Some sort of. If you are in 100 level. If you are a 100 level student. You just began. Raise your hand. Anybody? Alright. So you people can make first class degree. For instance, if you are in 200 level, raise your hands up. And some of you didn't raise your hand when I said if you want to make a first class degree. Are you on 0.1? The Bible says write the vision and engrave it plainly. In their days it was a tablet, alright? So that the one who reads it, tablets of stone, of clay. So that the one who reads it, the Bible says he will what? He will run with it. Are we together? And he said, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. The people what? Perish. They are slothful. The reason why most of us are not making a first class degree is because firstly, for instance, I'm using student now, because they didn't have a vision. They just came into school without a vision. Visions arrange your life. They are more like the demarcation of your life, the limit of your life. And the pseudocodes to achieving visions are set goals. When you set little goals, it drives you towards your vision. Are we together? So the reason why we have goals is because we had gotten a vision before. We had a vision before. We had set a vision before. That's why we have goals to draw us into fulfilling that what? Vision. Are you people in church? So when you see somebody not reading, you know, for instance, if you have a goal, if somebody has a vision, he will have a goal. When you see somebody reading very well, if you see a student reading so tediously, he's reading every time, she's reading every time, that reading is her own goal. For instance, he or she will say, I will read 5 hours daily because I want to make a first class degree, or 2 hours daily, or 3 hours daily. Are we together? Now that's the person's goal, because the person wants to make a what? A first class degree. Are you people listening to me? Very important. So it is. If we want to get anointed as a Christian, when you get admitted into school, are you automatically going to graduate? Huh? There's a possibility you may never graduate. Do you know a lot of people have gone through school? And I don't even know how to put it, whether they went to school or school went through them, I don't know how to put it. But they did not graduate. They don't have, in fact, some didn't collect their certificate. And I hear some of our Christians who are quite to the extreme saying it's a testimony. That's not a testimony. A lot of times when people don't collect their certificate, it's because it doesn't have use. It's the truth. They already know. You know, those days, we used to have what we call a pass degree. I don't know if they still have it. Do we have it? Is it still in existence? Okay. Those days, thank God it's still in existence. if they can't find a class of degree for you, they just say you pass. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And they give you a certificate to show you went through school. Now, I'm not saying when you have such a degree, God cannot use you. Or God cannot use it. He can use it if you repent. You know the damage. You know, it's bad when you come out and you are boasting that it's okay. That you had a past degree. You have not repented. God will deal with you. He will not deal with you. God doesn't deal with people necessarily. He allows Satan to deal with you.
Because you are proud. You are haughty. You have not learned your lessons. But if you come out and you admit that your class of degree was due to some wrong understanding you had, and it's not God's will that you had a past degree, God can use that past degree. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So you see, we are not trying to make you understand that God cannot use a past degree. He can use, but it's based on a mindset. You know, some people graduate with a past degree and they are making out. They are making out everywhere. You see my life now. I did not collect a certificate, but see me now. People that collect certificates, are they better? Where are they? They are my chefs. They are my... Whether they are your chefs, listen, whether they are your chefs or your cleaners, in God's heart, at that time of their life, they thought better than you. The Bible says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, what? And let me tell you something. When you see people, somebody who never knew God is a boss over somebody that knows God and is a chef, you know, pass it, you had a first, third class or second class, first class, whatsoever. You are now a chef for somebody who never knew God. It is because something is wrong with your life. You can quote me anywhere. If you are around Christians, hear the word Christians in quotes. Christians that don't like riches. Christians that don't like money, they have problem with money. Anytime you say money, they'll say salvation. It's not like you are not saved though. Anytime you say money, they say talk about salvation. It's not like you were not saved or you are a sinner. But it also make you understand that money is not anything. We're not saying money is everything. But money is very important. If you're around Christian, that anytime you say money, they'll say, I beg, talk about my soul. Change your friends. Now, listen, you may misunderstand what I'm saying. Listen to me carefully. I'm not saying that go and look for friends who like money. No, that's what I'm saying. But you know, some people are extremists. You just say, Lord, I thank you for money. You say, why are you praying about money? Paul suffered. He suffered. He was living as a poor man. What are you praying for? Jesus was poor. Don't ask, tell you, poverty glorifies God. Anything money, they don't like it. Even Jesus had a treasurer, God Almighty. If Jesus has a treasurer, who are you? The one you are serving, our treasurer. If money was not important, they would have not been treasurer. Jesus saved money, Satan, Judas was stealing. The disciples didn't know. It took something supernatural. Only Jesus could find out. Even financial secretary didn't know. And Jesus was the only one that knew that Judas was stealing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Of course, we have explained this scripture several times. When we explain it, some people say it's rich towards grace. Now, I have no problem thinking it's rich towards grace. The Bible said in the book of 1 Peter, is that God is able to cause his grace to abound towards all your needs. Some of your needs? Some of your needs? All your needs. You think God wants it that you have bills that you can't pay? He doesn't. You think God gets any glory when you are owing your landlord? Now you can't even pray loud in your house. Because if you do, remember, they will capitalize on the sin now. They will call your prayer now sin. Now, before you were owing, you were praying loud because you had paid rent. Now that your rent has finished, you can't pray loud because if they come for you, now it's not God's will. It's not. It's not God's will that you who do evangelism in the class, when it's time to write exam, they tell you to go out with your... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? See, read the Old Testament to the New Testament. Anytime God wants to do something with the children of Israel, He will say, so that they will know that I am your God. God likes to brag with you. You are the one that don't understand it. You know, I had a compound mate. How do I put it? Is it compound mate or neighbor or whatsoever? That time I was a student. The guy, such a lovely guy. One time he woke up and he said, if I have 2 million, you know, those days he didn't know what 2 million was. He had not touched money. He said, if I have 2 million, I will lock Pastor Simon. Now, he was not being serious. He was actually joking. That's how he plays. Very lovely guy. He likes me a lot. He will come and tell me, I will lock Pastor Simon. I will lock all of you in this compound. Then he now said, I will lock the VC. Then, the reason why me and I used to laugh was because he mentioned 2 million. Only in the ministry on campus, I know what we have spent already. So I will laugh. I wouldn't call his name. Some of you will know him. I'm sure now if he hears this thing, he will start laughing because he didn't know what 2 million was. That was not why I'm even saying this example. Why I said it was because sometimes you wake up in the morning, you will now come to people, the neighbors, you will say, let Moku brag. Moku brag. He said, I get fridge. I get home theater. What do you get? You not say more brag. So such a lovely. I'll just be watching drama in the compound. Anytime I want to laugh, I'll just come outside and sit down. He will make everybody to start laughing. He said more brag. Sweater the chop, he will bring it out. Maybe chicken or fish with size food. The rest would see your gari. You won't go hide that. Come more brag. God likes to brag with you. You know what God said to Abraham in the Old Testament? Maybe you googled that scripture for me. He said, Abraham, do not collect money from a certain king. Do not collect help from a certain ruler. You know why he said that? He said, so that nobody will say, I favored Abraham. So that nobody will say, I made Abraham. He wants to take the glory all by himself. That's for the broke, for broke side, brokenness experience. Don't make friends with people who are casual about success. Very casual. If you say you are hardworking, they'll tell you, they begin to give you, and say, oh boy, let me by working hard. Though. People, they work hard, but Yahoo boys, now they are boss. 41? Okay, 1423. Genesis 1423. You've heard people like that. They'll come out on social media, they'll say, I didn't go to school, but a PhD holder is my manager. And when you look at them, you know the money they have is not pure money. Yes, casual about success. Be friends with people who are serious about success. They are working hard. People that challenge your laziness. They challenge your laziness. They get you intimidated in righteousness. Even Paul said in scripture, says, steer each other in love. Steer each other in love. Those days while we're growing up, if we hear that somebody fasted 7 days, we want to die. It will be as if somebody wants to kill us on our inside. You fasted 7 days? Say yes. Say, okay, we are going to start our own. That's how I grew up. See, if I said, I pray 7 hours stretch, no bending. That's our joke that time. Meaning, I did not stop, I did not break. 7 hours straight, attack. Say, yes. You didn't see that. No bendings. I was just walking. I was shocked 7 hours. I remember those days. Somebody would tell us, I broke into the third heavens. And I saw things, man. I saw this, I saw that. After I prayed 7 hours, we'll just do like we're not here. We'll go back home, wait 2-7 hours. As we're praying, we'll be expecting the same encounter. And they were not so healthy, but they helped us, you know, to help, you know, to get steered and pursue righteousness. Why I say not too healthy? Because if you are going to look for the same encounter that person had, Satan will give you one. Your encounter should differ because your life differs. Your life experiences, they differ. So God will give you diverse encounters as they will help you grow in the faith. Are you all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God forevermore.
Glory.
So as I've spoken about riches like that, also have friends that help you become more spiritual. Are you listening?
Sir.
They help your faith. In fact, that's the height of it. Because as we're saying, get friends that, you know, I hope you understand that we're wired for success. Friends who are wired for, we're not saying people who are unbelievers. If you must get friends who are successful, get them within the parameters of the faith. It's dangerous to have a friend who is successful in the things of the world. The Bible said you can be successful in worldly things and not successful towards God. We showed you in scripture. Such friends can cause you to err. Their communication will not even be healthy. You'll be so amazed. You are sitting with them. They are talking about girls. They are talking about boys. And they don't care because they have money. Have friends who are praying people. They love to pray. They love prayer. You feel you are lazy towards prayer, just have one friend who knows how to pray. You will love how to pray. I tell you the truth. You know, one time I was praying, the Holy Spirit now reminded me. I just started reminding myself. I said, is it me that is praying like this? I couldn't stop praying. I'll go out and wash my car. I'm going to clean the going to my going to boil water. And I stop and say, should rest. I say, is this how I have love prayer? I remember me those days. When they say pray, I'm in a vision. You don't understand. We'll fast and come and pray in church together. That's mutual father. And while we are praying, I'll just lie out. There's a rug in the church. I'll lie on the ground. And I'll be like, they will not hear me again. I'm somewhere deep. And anytime he touches me, I'll just go, Sharadisukaratash. I see. You say, yeah, you see. What do you see? Now, there was a day I lied in righteousness. He never stopped joking with that in 9 cups. We were 9 praying. So when he just told me, what do you say? I see 9 cups. Is that he calling me 9 cups? Now that was a lie. But I had to prove that I saw something. And after I said, I didn't really see you. It was cup that came to my mind when you woke me up. And since we were 9, I said 9 cups. Then he said to me, thank you. Stand up and pray. Don't see again. When they say fast, you see my eye red. How many of you have been there while you were starting? Maybe some of you are even there now. When they say 3 days dry, you start imagining like you have done it already. You start imagining it. If I just see the people on the first day, they look miserable like that in the third day. Because their imagination has gone into the third day already. They are imagining how so painful it will be. That's what makes fasting very difficult too. Why you not say somebody, we're going on the 21 days, like, hey, whoa, 21. What time? 6 to 6. Hey! On the first day, their eyes inside. They've given up on themselves. 21, me, I don't die, finish. In fact, water will make you more hungry. I said, sir, 3 days, like 1, 2, and 3. He said, yes, sir. And I asked the fellow guys there, I said, will you people do it? I said, of course. Papa said we should do it, we'll do it. I said, what if somebody dies? I was so sincere. I said, what if somebody dies? Then he said, nobody will die. There's grace supplied. Then we started the fast. I will never forget. First day, my mind was ka. My mother has called my father to report that I was doing 3 days dry. My father called me. How many days are you fast? I said, 3 days. He said, why? I said, I'm praying to build myself up in the Lord. My mother collected the phone. If he die, you carry these cups. This boy is becoming mad. And I said they should give me the phone. I said, he said, can you do it? I said, yes. He said, okay, bye bye. He ended the call. He didn't pick her call again. 3 days, second day, my eye was red. Anger was everywhere in me. I'll never forget my younger sister, the immediate younger sister, came and annoyed me. And those days, we were told that if you fast and you get angry, it has broken. So I partnered for the anger to happen. I was using my number 6. I'll be number 7. She came and annoyed me. I said, you are mad. Get up. Another, what did you people cook? And I saw yam and egg. I said, after all, my fasting has broken. Put the food from me. You have made me angry. God will hold you responsible for my. As I wanted to eat, the Holy Spirit reminded me. Because I was not going to tell anybody I ate. I wanted to eat and form fasting. Do you people understand what I'm trying to say? Then God will now understand between me and him. But I couldn't eat. I still went and took jolly juice. I thought I was wise. I bought Coke type flavor. So drink it. I feel, wow. I said, oh, I'm cheating these people. Then, 1 hour later, I drank again. 30 minutes later, I drank cold water. In fact, I started drinking. I thought it was going to help me. Few hours later, I started seeing my corpse on the ground. I was seeing myself, like I felt dead. I'm dead. I was even telling myself, I've died. What remained is resurrection. I'm dead. Until 12 noon, it was time for meeting. I rushed for meeting. They were praying. I was sitting, looking like, you know, I could pray in tongues, but I was looking at everybody like this. Nobody had the impetus to say, stand up and pray, because they knew. We were like 7 that did the fast. All of us were not. The best stood up and bent like this. I was looking at. All of us were just. You know, the best just bent. I was looking at the set man. The set man was the one leading the prayer. And those younger ones were just shouting, Yabba Baba. In their mind, they were more spiritual. Then there was one that they said they should do 6 to 6. She now came pap close to me. Hot pap with kuli kuli. So she wanted to break her 6 to 6 fast with hot pap. She was not worthy for that. If it was like that, some of us would have not even brought anything to church. We'll go back home before we eat. Guess what I did? Immediately the fast broke, she went and was greeting leaders. Well done, sir. She even had power to go and greet people. I celebrated, sir. As I watched her went out, I wanted to say the Holy Spirit told me, no, not the Holy Spirit. I took the flasks of pap, opened it. I did not ask questions. It has sugar already in it. I started drinking. I cried the kulikuli and ate and continued drinking. Immediately she entered, she shouted, my pap! Immediately she shouted, I rushed out with, sorry, come, how much will I give you? How much will I give you? Don't tell papa, please, I beg you. She still went and reported that girl of mouth. Still went. They are coming. You took somebody's pap. I did not know, sir. I did not know. He said, okay, you did not know it's her pap. Who did you bring pap? I said, no, sir. Why did you drink up, up? I just felt like drinking it up. I'm so sorry. He started laughing. He said, you saw pap. You carry pap. And you drank pap. He said, my dear, sorry. Follow me. She followed. He gave her money. The remaining pap. And I said, give me now since they are kidding. I'm very serious. I'm not lying. I told her to give me the remaining since they were going to give her money. She refused. She carried it and left. Now, that's how lazy. Some people are saying, no, you are not lazy, Pastor. But I was lazy. Hallelujah to Jesus. But today I can pray anyhow I want to pray. I tell you the truth under heaven, there is nothing that's taking over my mind. I can keep this phone for 1 year. Except by, you know, because of our needs for phones. That's why most of us carry phones. Things are easy, communication is easy, WhatsApp grows and etc. But I can keep it for how long God wants me to keep it and do what I want to do. Hallelujah to Jesus. Why? Because I was around people who were stronger spiritually than I am. Are you listening to me? I was in the right company. There are some of you, when they say 3 days dry, you say, Jesus Christ. Meet the right people. Sometimes it can start with just fruits. You can start with fruits. You don't necessarily need to do 3 days dry direct. In fact, till now, sometimes I still do it with fruits. Are we together? You can use watermelon, pineapple, apple, banana. You know, some of you are calling what is a mango. To me, mango is food. So anytime we are fasting dry, if I hear somebody say mango, I just feel like you are not serious. Because mango is food. You know mango is food, right? So you eat mango. In fact, when you are fasting, you like to eat it with the back. If you're not eating it with the back, you see yourself eating it with the back. And if you were young, some of you, did you go to Lambu? Anybody here? Who ever visited Lambu while growing up? There's something we call Lambu in the north. When you go there, even if they didn't cook in the house, you can sit there and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You are gisting with friends. Till in the evening, then you come back at home. Those days when we come back from school, don't used to complain when it's rainy season. When there's no food, straight to Lambu. Just carry your bag, climb with your knife, just bend somewhere at the branch and be enjoying yourself. And when people are passing, you'll be greeting them. So mango is food. Are we together? You can start like that. Before you know, you'll be strong to do 3 days dry. You know, I had an experience one time on campus. I was doing 3 days dry. And there's this friend that wanted to do everything I do. So he now said he would do 3 days dry with me. If you hear I pray like this, you come and pray. If you hear, so I love his passion. Love me so much. Then there's a 3 days dry. Pastor Simon just did 3 days dry. He said, okay, him too, he wants to do his own. And he started first day. In the midnight, he prayed. He was so strong. I was like, wow, that's nice. I said, have you ever done it before? He said, no. So okay. Second day, he started. In the evening, he was praying. I observed he was holding his stomach. Then the voice now reduced. Then I said to him, and I was like, I've been chifa. That means eat food though. He said, No. He's nothing is paining him, he's just touching his stomach. I said, okay. Middle of the night, he stood up. He was just walking like this. I said, eat food. He said, no. That nothing is wrong with him. He's fine. I said, this thing, who are you trying to impress? Is it me? Eat food. He said, no. I woke up 2 a.m., 3 a.m. His eye was still sharp. And I said, you will not sleep. So he cannot sleep. I said, you can't sleep. What do you mean by you can't sleep? He said, his eye is not closing. I'm sure he was feeling like if he sleep, he will die. You know that kind of feeling? I feel dead, man. If you just sleep now, you just go. So I said, there are some fruits I bought for you. I truly bought. I said, can I give you the fruit? He said, yes. He did not hesitate. I gave him. He started eating. You know, ruminant animal. She said, you know the way. I said, first thing in the morning, we will make food for you. You have fasted 3 days dry. Do you know that? He said, but 24. It's not, forget about 24 hours. You have fasted 3 days dry. You can record it somewhere. In the morning, first thing, we did beans. I can't really remember. Beans and gari, some sort of. Some of you are saying, Kai. Student food. He ate and enjoyed himself. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have those kind of friends. Let me try to be fast because of time. He was inspired. And he did it. I was inspired too many years ago. And I did it. Don't have friends that always want to make sure you are down. That's some of you. Listen carefully. As I'm even talking, some of you are not even feeling interest. Some of you, you are not even looking at me. Listen carefully. There are some people that have friends that the only thing they tell you is, make we go see that babe. Make we go block people. Make we go do whatever. You know, one time I was angry on campus. And I said somewhere in MCLT, when I heard how many times they were stealing people's phone. Not just stealing, they would block somebody, say, bring your phone. The person will now submit the phone. I got so angry. Because they did that to me too in my house. I was talking with my wife. So I now told her that she should give me 1 minute to ease myself. In the night, it was a video call. So when I went to ease myself, as I came back, the room was so cold. Many fresh air. And I said, no, I didn't leave this room like this with so much fresh air. What has happened? And because my laptop was still there, I didn't feel like anything had happened. Immediately I got to my bed, it was close to the window. You know, you can't help it as a student. Your bed has to be close to the window. I just saw that they've carried my new phone. I just bought that phone not too long. I bought it over 50 something thousand. That time, oh. It's five that was at the end of the phone. Very good phone. Because of some work I want to be doing online. When they carried it, I saw the guy on black and black trying to jump the fence. I said, hey. He stopped. I said, you'll be dead if you don't bring that phone. I said it out of anger. Now, under heaven, I'm not lying. I did not tell anybody in the compound that they robbed me. I didn't come out, hey, thief, oh, thief. I didn't do it. Early in the morning, I now went to the caretaker. I said, you guys have to be protective. He said, why? I said, somebody stole my phone. He said, I don't understand. You are talking to me like nothing happened. How did this? I said, they stole my phone. I showed him where they tore and etc. I said, they stole my phone. He said, they stole your phone? Are you aware they killed somebody in the front? I said, killed somebody? Yes, the person stole. They killed him in the front. They burnt him to ashes. I went and I looked from afar. I couldn't go close. They've actually burnt the guy to ashes. And I remember the words I said. If you don't return that phone, you'll be dead. The words what? They judge him. You know, when we say things like this, some people say, jege. It's not jege. There's something more powerful than word, than bullets and guns. It's the word of God. It's powerful. You know, you may not understand what I'm saying. You say, gun where they touch. Think about it. You smoke, you drink, you live your life recklessly. I'm praying in the spirit and I'm faithful with God. And you think that you are more powerful than me because you have a gun? You think so? Don't be deceived. You know, I was sharing something somewhere many years ago. I saw some group of stubborn boys misbehaving. And they were claiming there was no God in a certain area. And I said to them, I said, I don't have a problem if you think there is no God. I said, but at your own risk, try to touch God's people because you think there is no God. At your own risk, you'll see the penalty. You do that at your own risk. You can claim there's no God, but don't dare God's people in the name of you think there is no what? God. It's the truth. Words are what? Spirit. And words are what? Life. Many lives I've wasted like this because I don't know how to listen. So, leave wrong friends.
from wrong friends. There are some people that are not as nice as we are spiritually. They are Christians, but they are not nice Christians. You touch them by mistake, you die by correction. It's not a joke. They will kill you. Do you know how many people have died because of Christians? You think it's a joke? Do you know how many people, grandmothers and fathers and men and women have killed in their secret place? Somebody met me one time and he said to me that they stole his iPad and that he wants the iPad back. You know, they've never stolen from me and I told God, give me back. I've never done that. Alright? And I'm not saying I was right. But the guy came with crazy faith. And I looked at him. I said, you want your iPad? He said, yes, sir. I know you. I know if you speak words into my life. I said, how many days? He said, 3 days. I said, do you have trace? He said, no. I said, okay, no problem. Lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, wherever that iPad is, let it come back. Amen. Because of his faith, I prayed. I would have just advised him if he didn't come with faith. I said, just let it go. God will give you a good one. Blah, blah. But I prayed for him. Hallelujah to Jesus. Guess what? They caught the person. When he went to sell, they caught the person. They said, this face, we have seen it before. Somewhere. Some sort of. They caught him. They beat him up. Beat him up so much. And they took the iPad back to the guy. After like 1-2 weeks. Gave him back the iPad. And asked him, should we finish this guy? He was the one that said, release the guy. Because the guy was his classmate. You think when you are stealing it, God is not looking at you? You don't know that it's the mercy of God that have allowed you to be stealing till they have not caught you now. Do you know that? Think about it. I don't know how to explain this thing to you. Life is very spiritual. I hope you know that. Hey, church, listen to me. Are you here? Life is very spiritual. I hope you know that. Very spiritual. Life is not natural, though. It is 100% spiritual. Do you know why they've not been catching some of you? Somebody is praying for you. There's one grandmother there telling God, please keep my son. That is why they've not caught you like this. They've caught your friends, remaining only you. They've not caught you. You think you are more smart. Because the day they catch you, they will kill you. But God has been promising that grandma that will keep him. Will keep him. Will keep him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But there's a time in the spirit where your cup becomes full. Yes. At that point, if you are not repented, not even God will answer that prayer again. You'll be dead. Are you listening to me? Life is 100% spiritual. I was showing, was it my wife I was showing or who? Let me show you this. Numbers 14. Is it Numbers 14? I guess so. Numbers 14. Hallelujah. Then all the congregation of Israel raised their voices and cried out, and the people wept that night. Next part of scripture. And the Israelites murmured in discontent against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt, oh, that we had died in the wilderness. Next part of scripture. Am I in the right place? All right. Let me be sure. The story of Miriam. The story of Miriam. Numbers what? Alright, let's see from verse 1 then. It's from verse 1. Numbers 12 from verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Please follow me carefully. It doesn't look important, but I'll just chip it in to show you how life is spiritual. So Moses got married to an Ethiopian woman. He found love in another place. whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Next part of scripture. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. You know what happened here was that Moses told them to marry within the camp. So Moses said, as long as you are here, thus says the Lord, marry within the camp. And Moses did not marry within the camp. Moses now found love elsewhere. But what they were foolish to understand was that Moses was adding to the camp. Okay. But if you were the Ethiopian, if you were Miriam now, if they marry Miriam, they are taken away from the camp. Did you catch what I just said? And why did God tell them to marry within the camp? Because God wants to amplify more capacity for the vision. Follow me. I know some of you are doing a lot of calculation in your small head. You are now thinking. And the Lord what? Now, see what Miriam, she said, has the Lord spoken through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. What she said, isn't that what people are saying on Facebook today? Huh? Now, you may think the Lord has not come down on your case. He has come down. And they said they are men of God. We too! Well, are we women of God? That's exactly what his sister Miriam, not younger sister, what? Elder sister. You know, some people in the New Testament, they think we are Old Testament people. This is how God thinks. You must understand. You think in the New Testament, if you touch the anointed, God will say, oh my guy, the blood has covered. Listen carefully. Except you repent, that's when the blood really covers. If you have a wrong mentality about things, don't think that the blood of Jesus will just be on your pouring on your head. No! You will enter into the consequences. Is it not in the New Testament in Galatians 6 that Paul said, what a man sows, he reaps? He said, for God cannot be what? What a man sows, he reaps? That's karma. But of course, if you repent, 1 John 1, he said, the blood of Jesus, what? Washes away your sins. Because you repented. This sounds so familiar with what people are saying on Facebook today, because they don't know that life is spiritual. Now, it was Miriam, his elder sister. Next part of scripture, the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. The Lord hears everything you are saying. Tell your neighbor, say, the Lord is hearing you. Everything you are saying. He said, the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very humble. Just like I'm very humble. Am I very proud? There's some of you that think I'm proud. I'm not so proud, isn't it? Maybe very, very small. He said, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now, let me say something to you for free. A lot of times, pastors don't know how to talk about situations. They'll just allow it to slide. A lot of times. If you observe most pastors, you lie, they hear plenty things, they'll just decide to want to keep. The day they open their mouth, they'll speak out of anger. But most time, they'll keep their mouth what? Shut. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? They can discuss with their wife and children. They say this or they say that. See, imagine, you know, that one will help. Say this one, blah, blah, blah. This man here, his father is a pastor. I'm sure you can relate to what I'm saying. They'll say it, but you know, never hear it on the podium. They'll never come to the people and say anything. That's how Moses was living his life. You think Moses did not know that they were talking against him? But the Bible says Moses was very humble, more than all men who were there on the face of the earth. Why you think, you see, a lot of times when you have problem with leadership, that's the reason why you are not a leader. The reason why, you know, when you sit down, you are having problem with leadership, that's why God did not pick you. Because you are proud. Why God picked the leader was because he's humble. He knows your sin. He has never announced it. You assume his sin. You don't know his sin. No, you assume. Assumption. It be like say. Then you capitalize on what it be like say. And you are not sure of it. Now they thought Moses had sinned. Now Moses did not sin. because the Lord was in support of what he did. For a particular reason, the same man he married from, did the man not give him a very wonderful wisdom that changed the narrative in the wilderness? What was the man's name? Over there, what's the man's name? Jehu. It's Jethro. Gave him a wonderful advice that changed everything about leadership for Moses. Can you remember? Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Of course, you see this? The Lord was in manifestation through the ministry of angel. I said this. So the angel of the Lord shouted to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three. And they came out. So the three came out. Next part of scripture. Listen carefully. Life is very spiritual. After this, you're not going to be talking anyone on Facebook again. It says, the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Next part of scripture. He called two of them. He said, come. They came. Next part of scripture. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. You see why we tell you that visions, some visions and dreams are lower realms of listening to God, right? I'm not saying don't stop waiting for visions, but listen carefully to what the Lord is saying here. Verse 7. He then said, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Somebody that was a big boy. The church are praying, God, take us to promised land. Somebody left what was looking like promised land and was leading a people inside wilderness. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Sometimes you don't know what people go through. Like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said, we die daily for you people to live. We make a lot of sacrifices for people to live. That you think you just stand up, yeah, and God will say, well done, talk more. Don't joke. I'm not trying to cause fear for you people. You know, I've seen people insult Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Chris on the internet. I just look at them and I wonder. You are insulting. You did not just say, I disagree. You say, I disagree, you stupid man. If you only disagreed, it would have been nice. But you disagreed and you insulted. Then you think it will be well with you. Let me tell you. I told somebody, I said, God will make you understand with time that a path you are taking is wrong. Somehow he will make you understand. If you are taking a wrong path, God will make sure you realize someday that the path you are taking is what? The Bible says he keeps a stumbling block where? In Zion. To make you understand you are taking a wrong path. If you are talking against men of God and you are living, you are just living your, God one day will make you understand you are in the wrong. And of course, he's not the one that will cause that thing to happen, that experience. It's the devil. Because you have paid way for Satan by your disobedience, Satan has gained access to your life. Are you all listening to me? Next part of scripture. And I'll use this to relate how vision works for you. He said, I speak with him face to face, even plainly, through the ministry of an angel, of course. And not in the dark scenes. Meaning that Moses was seeing angels, literally speaking with God through angels, face to face. They were seen in visions. They were hearing in visions and dreams. Are you listening to me? But Moses will climb the mountain and speak face to face. In other words, God is making you understand that when he gives you a leader, there's a special grace on the life of that leader. There's something he does with that leader that he cannot do with everybody. It's the truth. No matter who you are, there's something he does with that leader that will give him the leverage over the people. Are you listening? Then he said, and he sees the form of the Lord. He said, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, why then were you not afraid? Am I talking to somebody in this place tonight? Why, he said, why then were you not afraid? Why do you think they were not afraid? Moses ate the same food they ate. Moses spoke like they spoke. There was nothing super ordinary about Moses. He looked like them, talked like them, but they didn't know that the guy had a deeper relationship with God than them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Hey, are you listening to me?
Yes,
next part of scripture. So the anger of the Lord was arose against them, and he departed. Next part of scripture. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. It was the angel of the Lord that did that. White as snow, leprosy came upon her. The elder sister of who? Donald, now my brother, when they call him Papa, Donald, come here, Jare. Dodo, they call you Papa. You now my Donald, you be my junior brother. Let them know. Now Papa, now my Pekin. Leprosy is just knocking at the door. Because you think earthly numerology is more important than spiritual offices. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your what? Mother's womb. I had what? Known you. You had an existence before you entered your mother's womb. Just because your elder brother does not mean you should be stupid. We had a form in the spirit before we became your elder brother or younger sister. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? If God calls somebody out, you must respect the person according to the call of God upon his life. All of you, listen to me. And this is what makes leadership strong. Now, I'm going somewhere. Imagine the kind of chaos Aaron and Miriam will bring in the camp. The people didn't have the impetus to come to Moses. And it was Aaron and Miriam that gave them the impetus. That's how it is sometimes in church. In other words, if associate leaders begin to understand things wrongly, see things wrongly, it will cause chaos in the systems, in the church. It would have been okay if everybody was like that, but if associate leaders are having a wrong mentality, there'll be trouble. We have a vision as GCMI. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Our vision is not just a vision we created. You know, people say there are several mandates. There's only one mandate. The mandate of Jesus. Are you listening to me? He said, I've come to do the work of my Father. He said, my meat is to do the work of my Father, which is preaching the kingdom to other cities. He said, for this purpose was I sent. So the only reason we exist is to preach the kingdom. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Very important. It's from a wrong mentality. People do this ideology that God gives everybody a particular message. There is no particular message for anybody. The only message for everybody is Jesus Christ. Jesus and him being crucified. The reason I said before, please listen to me. You may think this is not important. It is very important to you. The reason I've said this before, why people think God calls people to teach different messages is because, for instance, you come to somewhere like Makurdi and something is lacking. For instance, let's give for instance that maybe Christians in Makurdi, they love God so much, but they are not successful materially. Let's give for instance. Now, if God sends a prophet there, even if the prophet is supposed to teach the gospel, God will emphasize a part of the gospel that they need. Because he's observing that they are broke and they think that he's the one that is making them broke. Are you here?
Yes,
hallelujah to Jesus.
Glory.
So, now for instance, their popular song is Take the Word and Give Me Jesus, and they think God wants them broke. He don't raise a prophet and say, emphasize, or a pastor, emphasize the fact that I don't want people broke. Are you listening to me? So the pastor will teach salvation for some minutes, and after that, at the end of the service, you'll see him emphasizing prosperity. He's emphasizing prosperity. That's not the call of the pastor. That's the emphasis at that time for the pastor. The mistake the pastor will do is to now think that his emphasis is his message. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? If the pastor thinks his emphasis is his message, then he gets it wrong. Now, this is why many would think their emphasis are their messages. Prosperity, deliverance. Some say it's power ministry. It's funny because there's nobody that that is not called into the power ministry. Hallelujah to Jesus. And etc. Are you understanding me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. What gets vision blurry? Satan, through fear and discouragement, gets vision to become blur. Are we together? Through fear. You give you the wrong pictures that will create fear and discomfort. And before you know it, the visions becomes blurry. How many of you were trying to pray for somebody before? And suddenly you are scared. And your fear now makes you to start shouting the more. How many of you have been there? Probably you were praying for somebody who was sick. Then you now imagine the person dead. You just hear a voice say, what if the person dies? When you hear the voice, you now start, it's a lie in the name of Jesus. It's the devil that's trying to create a picture. Are you listening? I'm seeing some of you sleeping. Oh my goodness. You want me to be shouting and jumping before you know that. Hallelujah. You know, the church in Africa don't like to sit down and hear the word. It's very, very disheartening. They won't shout. If we're dancing, some of you will still be dancing. And your keyboard may be adding to the problem. Play another thing. Let's see Genesis 12 and 2. I will make you a great nation. God speaking to Abraham, right? I will bless you and make your name great. Are you here? Play this song. Your keyboard. Before the throne. Now God has promised to make Abraham a great nation, that he will have a lot of children. Now let's see Genesis 15 and 1. Abraham was now doubting. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly what? Great reward. He was scared. So God said, stop being scared. Because he was now considering his age. Are you listening? And the fact that his wife has passed what? Menopause. So he was scared. And out of fear, listen, don't sleep. If you sleep, you stand up. Jerry, where is our board? I've seen two people. Is the board there? Let me see. You remove your shoe and cloth, ma. I know you have removed your shoe. You are sleeping. Are you seeing it? What's written here? So you raise it up and stand there. Another person will not stand there. All right, you can sleep. Now, Abraham was doubting and he was moved towards, because of fear, and he did the wrong thing. Hey, yo, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Verse 2. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is what? The maid. Abraham went in the flesh. He was trying to make sure that what God promised becomes a reality. He slept with the maid. And he didn't just do it. Abraham's case is not like Nollywood. The wife was the one that brought the maid to him and said, sleep with her. Not like those ones that will sleep, the wife would not know. The wife said, sleep with this woman so that you have a child. My time has passed. Abraham said, come to it. Slept with her. So it's like, God, the promise you promised me was between me and my wife. This woman was not there. So how do we know now? The head of my house is Eliza of Damascus. That's how some of us are. God has said something. We'll go in the flesh to help God manifest it. Just like some girls. They'll say the guy is not truly born again, but he loves God. How? If you don't know God, how can you love? You are going in the flesh to make sure the promise of God comes into manifestation. Now, some of you that are in love with the wrong people, I can sense the spirit here. You like fine boys. Fine boys is your weak point. You can't wait to go for service so that you roll and marry fine boys. Some of you think that's your liberty. You have promised the fine. When I finish school, GCMI will not hold me again. We'll marry and have kids. Do you know some people, the reason why they are making the right decision is because they are in GCMI now. They are just like one leg in, one leg out. There are some that went to service, they found love. Some, just service. They were like, oh, we will take nations. Ah, they just go by NY service. One boy just... So I swear I love you more than my church, my spiritual father, my God. Us against the church, yes. We're in love, they hate us. We win them. On their wedding day, you see them write things like this. The world were against us. Many people thought we would not make it, but we have made it. Against all odds. Not just marriage, they write against all odds. You are not living the life. If you want advice, meet married people. Tell them, I beg you, take 20,000. Tell me the truth. What kind of a man should I marry? Most of them will lie on the birthdays. Have you ever seen a wife that says, my husband is not a good man on the birthday? They all say, my husband is the best man. Isn't that amazing? See, the time we see their face, boop, 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 on Facebook. My husband is the most amazing man any woman should pray for. It's as, like it's competition of whose husband is better on birthday. Whose father has ever been bad on birthday? The thing their mother has said are just fake news. On birthday, my father, very faithful to my mother, never cheated on my mother. The best man any woman should pray for. But your heart, you know the truth. So nobody likes to bring their parents out and show their weakness, their spouse out and show them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But that weakness is killing them. That was a mistake Sarah made here. She went in the flesh to make sure God's promise come into manifestation. They told you, the call of God is upon my life. I'm taking nations. You have prayed it. Hands have been laid upon you more than 20 times. You have fallen under the power of the Holy Ghost. Stood up feeling charged. Went home, prayed three hours. You saw visions of yourself and your husband. You didn't see his face. You just saw yourself taking nations for God. Then one fine boy just come with pink lips and said, I love you. And I said, are you born again? He said, yes. In fact, some say, he said, will follow me to my church, Papa. It's not by following you to your church. It's so easy. Wait till they follow you to your church. They will follow you. In fact, they say, do you pray in tongues? Pray in tongues, let me see that I will marry you. They will start praying without hands being laid. They will start praying in tongues. If you think it's by praying in tongues, God has to specially lead you. We walk by what? Faith, and not by what we see. I've told you, not even brothers in church, because you see them in church does not mean they're your husband. I've said that several times. But of course, God's best for you, God's man and woman for you, is within your place of assignment. Some people will say, where did you see this? It's in the Bible. The Israelites married within themselves. Why did God tell them to marry within themselves? Because he was taking them somewhere. They were supposed to fulfill destiny. But you, they marry you. Now, I say, Rosemary, where were we? Are you people here? Next part of scripture. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He was shouting on God. You don't give me a kid. This one I have. God, It's my hand. Leave me alone. He was angry with God, shouting, Abraham has might. Jonah is the one that is the worst. Next part of scripture. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And the guy is wondering, which body? Faith comes by hearing. Some of you hear, Abraham had faith against all hopes. This is what gave him faith. He heard God and he had faith. You know why some of you, your faith has been dying? You've not been hearing God. That's why I want to marry that wrong person. That's why you fell in love. You were so cheap to fall in love. You were not hearing God. And you think it's love. It's in confusion you fell. Not love. Let me tell you for free. Some of us have been in this love thing. We know that this thing they call, I'm going to die. You will not die. You are the one that will think you will die. My sister told me of somebody that said he will kill himself. Campus. She told him, if you don't tell me yes before tomorrow, if you hear that I'm dead, hold yourself responsible. And she was so scared. She called me that somebody said he will kill himself if she doesn't say yes. I said, wait for me. I'm coming to spend the night in your house. When I came, I said, when did he say he will die? He said, the next before morning that he will be dead. He has set the poison. I said, no problem. Give me your phone. She gave me. I off the phone. Off my phone. We were gisting till morning. When it was 12, I said, call him. She called. He picked. See, he picked. I said, guys, na jegeho. He's a liar. Say, I love you, a liar. I've not slept for 2 days. I was thinking of you. Go and check him. He's snoring. And all these boys that like saying unrealistic things, they don't love you, they are fake. You hear somebody tell you, you are the destiny of my life. You are the essence of my being. Do you know what you are saying? Somebody tell you, you are the light of my life. You light up my world. All realistic things. How can somebody be the essence of your life? What of Jesus? And some little children will carry it and show their friends. Sweetie, tell me, I don't die. It didn't burst my brain. And the last part before I continue, some of you is tears. When a guy cries, he has finished you. They say, why you forgive her? He cried. He cried everywhere. Crying is very small thing to most playboys. Oh. They practice crying. What? Ransi, no, I used to cry every time. For plenty women. And he's acting. G Mike. Call their names. Van Vika. Were they not crying in movies? Did they marry all those women they were crying for? Some people are masters in crying. I gave an instance one time. Let me give that instance again. I was pastoring this lady. She said this guy broke her heart twice. Let me stop saying broke her heart. If they break your heart, will you be alive? He actually cheated on her twice. That time when he cheated on her, she made up her mind to break up. She broke up. So when she broke up the 3 times, self, including the 3rd time. She now says she's not going back. She made up her mind. She had this young pastor who was pastoring her in her school. I was just giving advice from afar. So the pastor, the 3rd time, the pastor now got offended. While she was going, after he said, don't worry, God will make it work. Well, just focus on your studies. While she was going, the Holy Spirit told the pastor to tell her the truth. He now called her and said, come. See, God has told me you are my wife. Me, I'm tired. But since you were with this guy, I didn't know what to say. And I said to myself, some people have mind though. You are with another guy, you are pastoring. You know that your wife is with another guy, you are pastoring her. She's telling you that they kiss like 3 times and what? Are you okay? If it's somebody like me, I'll say, pray of Jesus Christ. What? Why? Wash your mouth. Listen carefully. True life story. He now told her the truth. She was so aback, surprised. She said, why didn't you tell me all this? Why? He said, I didn't know how to start it. I've never asked a woman out in my life. This is the first time. And he said, Tom, but if you don't agree, there's no problem. I just want to tell you. He now ran away. The lady now followed him. And finally, they started a relationship. But she now says she has a problem. Why they were dating that other one? Now came back. He resurrected. Yes, he was sent. Agent of darkness. You know, some of you, your life is like that. Now that you become serious with God, that boy will just say hi. And a long time. Now that you have made up your mind, I'm pursuing destiny in the name of. They'll just message you that night. You are stuck in pursuit. Some of you, is that girl in secondary school, boys. That one you thought you'll marry, that it didn't work out. Now that you are serious with God, she has been watching how you are dressing. You look smart. You look responsible. She's now feeling you. And now she messages you. High courage. It's been a long time, courage. Courage just finished 6 hours. Lord, we take over. They message 6 hours. After 6 hours. She said, courage. You see, those times in secondary school, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. And I didn't know that. You know, now my eyes are more open. I think it can work. I used to pastor a young man. He had that experience. He was asking this lady out. She never agreed. Of course, he didn't know what he was doing. So when he met me, I said, you were not even supposed to ask anybody out in the first place. Be serious with God. He grew. Of course, I copied my lifestyle and everything, including dressing and the rest. My hair. If you see my hair, self, everything he copies. One time, the lady messaged him on Facebook. Long time, so person, please send your number. He sent. Called. Call again. Call. Then after 2 days. You know, those days, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know I have not accepted you. But now, I want us to walk. I want it to walk. Please, let it walk. Of course, it was too late. He started laughing. He came to me. I said, block her. Hallelujah to Jesus. And focus. She never agreed. He even cried one of the days that she told him, you, me and you, God forbid, but he had not packaged himself in the things of God. He had not grown and become mature. Now that he's mature, she wants him. You know, some of you here, you think ladies are looking for people that really, let me add this thing a little bit. You think ladies are looking for people that have money necessarily. It's not true. Ladies are looking for responsible people. You know, I know ladies like money. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying they don't like money. But they are not necessarily looking for somebody that truly has money. See, listen. You know, some of you will be thinking I'm lying. I've been pastoring for a while. From campus days. If I tell you the number of ladies in my DM that time, you'll be so amazed. I'm not trying to brag. Believe me, in all honesty. Some are even older than me. And I tell them, my age is so and so. They say, no problem. It can work. They don't have examples they'll send for you, for men of God who married their junior. I tell you the truth. Now, if I look at myself, I don't have shishi to give anybody. It's the truth. Have I given the ministry first that I'll give any woman? So I was not ready to give anybody my 1 naira. In fact, if you come into my life, you are the one that will give me money and the ministry money. But why the pursuit? Why the pursuit? You know, one time I heard a rumor when I was with Mama T. One of their ladies said that if she had known, she would have been close to me so that she would be in a relationship with me. Then she now added at the end so that she would be eating tithe money and offering money. I started laughing. Tithe money and offering money. You are the one that will give tithe money and offering money. Because shishi, you will not see. Ask Mama T if I'm lying. She is thinking me to the things of God. Mama T, apart from me, is the highest partner in this church. Yes, my wife is the highest partner in this church, apart from me. So you see, is she taking or giving? Her mother, too, is one of the highest partners in this church. Are they taking or they are giving? You know, some women's vision, they are looking for men to take from. And that's why I'm not your husband. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore. So, like I was saying, women are not necessarily looking for somebody. They just want a responsible man. A man they can present to their father, most of them. They are looking for a man they can present because there are some men they will take to their father will beat them up. That's why anytime you want to come for introduction, you see a woman telling you how you should dress. Say, I beg if you are coming. Even we that like suit, they'll say, no wear suit. Suit is good, but no wear suit, wear kaftan. I beg, barb that your hair, carve well. Some of them will tell you, reduce your hair. I know my father. They are just looking for what? Responsible men that know where they are going to. When you are always talking about buying PS4, which woman will take you serious? A woman hears you pricing PS4. How much will be 250,000? Give me for 240. Then another woman hears another one talking about how much will the land? 500. Give me for 450. Who will she go for? The one buying land. Some of you in this church, some young boys, you are the one making these ladies look outside. You are not thinking matured. How can you come to a lady's food? You are still telling lady to help you with transport. You are the one that is causing the problem. You are in church telling your fellow lady in church to help you with transport. It's indeed fellow lady. Because you are a lady too. So I dig it. Kira, I beg, if you come with 200. And I say, church ladies, they look out. Smoke will report to pastor. Then they look out. Why they not go look out? The people we didn't want to kill them. With billing. You are not nice. Be nice. God has told you this woman is your wife. Buy suya for her. This is what earthly people are using to carry our wives. He just say, hi, my name is Justin. He said, okay, can we see? That can we see when they see the kind of suya Johnson will buy. Johnson in the world though. Johnson will buy suya. Buy Hollandia. Johnson will not say, what of your friends? Would you want me to buy something for them? He will look at her for 10k that he will sacrifice on that day. Christian brother. Kim Aka Gong. Kim. I'm not talking about the one sacrificing for God. It's not like you are sacrificing for, you are just Akagom. Prayer warrior, Akagom. There are some people like that. Prayer warrior, but Akagom. You can pray, you can give up prayer. You say, send your prayer request. Send your brother nowhere, send them. You know, I warned my guys here. This is one thing I warned them for many years ago. I said, this greed is a very bad thing. It's a spirit. Learn to spend on your woman. It's not a bad thing, no. Learn it. Valentine is coming. We'll expound more on that. I hope you know we'll have a meeting on Valentine's Day here. If you think I'm going out, if we check the record. Nobody's going anywhere. We'll expound more on that love thing. Love don't cost a thing. Next part of scripture. So don't go in the flesh to fulfill God's will. Let me end. He said, then he bought him out and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. Now, amidst this chaos, listen carefully. God said, come out, Abraham. Look to the stars of heaven. Try to count the stars. Abraham was trying to count. You know, that That's why we need to cast the vision sometimes. Because when we cast the vision and you see it so much, you'll be overwhelmed by the vision. To a point, see what Abraham said. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Abraham was overwhelmed. Next part of scripture. See what the Bible says. And he believed the Lord. He couldn't help it. He couldn't help it. Because where there's no vision, the people want, they perish. When God casted the vision again for Abraham, he couldn't help it. He said, wow, God, God Almighty. And he believed the Lord, and it was accounted it to him for what? Righteousness. Like I said, visions are the boundaries of our life. Hallelujah to Jesus. You are propelled and transported by the power of vision. Propelled and what? Transported by the power of vision. Convictions are not permanent features. Convictions that many years ago you told yourself that you are going to achieve this thing, it's not a permanent feature. That you have told yourself, I'm going to serve the Lord all my life, it's not a permanent feature. They require servicing via vision casting. Meaning, once in a while, you need to cast the vision to service your convictions. To strengthen your convictions. There was a time you thought about something. You were persuaded about something. But now, you are finding out that you are getting cold. How do you steer those convictions to become alive again? By casting the vision again. Staying with the word of God enough. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why the first thing God told Abraham in Genesis 15 is to fear not. He said, Abraham, what? Fear not. In Matthew 15, 14, God speaking about the Pharisees, he said, the blind leading the blind. The blind leading the blind. They had no vision. That's why they were living their lives anyhow. And one thing I want you to catch from this is that these folks were doing church. But they didn't have a vision of the kingdom. They had a wrong vision of God for what church should mean. So they were in church, but they were bad people. They were wicked people. They wanted even the Messiah crucified. Because they had been subjected by religion. Miles Monroe said the greatest misery that has ever hit the earth is what? Religion. It's so stupid. Religion will think you are for God, but meanwhile it's some assumptions. Who can tell us that a time will come in this world that a particular denomination will say there's anything like celibate, gay priests? If anybody told us that a time will come in this world where some people call themselves celibate gay priests, we would have not believed. But it's happening today. Because Satan was creeping in. He was saying wrong things. We were saying, no, it doesn't matter. Doctrines doesn't matter. He was getting into the church little by little until he had a full stature. And now he's speaking out boldly. That's why we don't joke with false doctrine here. Because when you allow false doctrine, you are paving the way for Satan to come into a system. To come into an assembly. How did Satan enter the lives of Adam and Eve? They were conversing. They were talking small. Eve permitted Satan by permitting a conversation. As they started talking, he started chipping in the lies. Before you know it, she fell a prey to the devil. And her husband too was subjected. Are you listening to me? I can use this to add and say, you don't want a wrong relationship. Don't be in talking terms with the wrong partner. Don't be in talking terms. Because talking terms can create convictions in your heart. You start seeing the things you are not seeing before. And start seeing possibilities for the relationship. Your life is very precious to God, though. If you make a wrong mistake in marriage, most people, 80% of the time, most people don't recover from wrong marriages. It's not something you should joke about. It's not something that you would take lenient in trying to teach you. I tell you the truth. You mistakenly marry the wrong person, you have a child, you think it's easy to come back and think straight. Most women give up. Especially women. They give up. I was telling my wife of a lady. Many years ago, she wanted to get married. And I told her to see my wife for counseling. And my wife didn't know her, so she could advise her better than me because I used to know her. So I didn't know how to advise her about making the right choice. So my wife asked her, is the person born again? Is he thinking well according to scripture? Blah, blah, blah. She said, not so well, blah, blah. And my wife said, no, it's wrong. Don't get married. And when she came to me, she said, what my wife said, I said, you are a Christian too. You should decide for yourself. Sit down and think. If God wants you to marry this man, fine. Even my wife will not stop you. But from what you have told my wife, she's seen that it's not a possibility. So go and think. The ball is in your court. And that's how it should be. People should make decisions for themselves. And when she went back, she decided to get married. Well, we blessed her and we told her, God bless you. To cut the long story short, she said immediately they got married, the man changed. Everything about kingdom started standing against. Even her giving to church, he told her to cut off giving from church. So when she called me and said she can't help it, she has to be giving to church, I said, stop. Your husband said you should stop. And I told her, what you need to start doing is praying for your husband. I said, stop giving, but start praying for your husband. Of course, she couldn't help it. She was already even pregnant. Hallelujah to Jesus. And before you know it, the worst happened. And right now, as we speak, I'm not trying to say that if you marry wrongly, the man would die. The man died. Of course, why did he die? Because he was not actually focused on the Lord. It's the truth. He was not fighting the things of God. His heart was not given to the Lord. And when he died, I started observing this lady, even our statues and the rest. You will barely see her post anything about God. It's been months I've not seen anything about God on her status. I'm not lying. This is somebody that cannot stay 5 minutes without posting something about God. 5 minutes. And I told my wife, not so long, I said, can you observe this lady now? She doesn't post anything about God. Because she made a wrong decision. It affected her heart. I'm not saying this lady was quite on fire. She was really on fire. I knew her from a child. I'm not joking. In fact, I grew up with her. She was somebody on fire for the things of God. That's why sometimes when I see people on fire, I used to tell them, don't think that you are the one that is most on fire. We have seen people on fire than you that made mistakes. Listen to instructions. Are you listening to me? Listen to instructions. Let me give you an instance. There was a man called Abraham. Of course, you know him in the Bible. There was another man called Lot. Of course, you know him. If you look at Genesis 12 and 13, anywhere Lot was going, Abraham was going to, Lot was following him. When God promised Abraham, he was going. You know, the pleasures and the glory and the success that Lot was experiencing was tied to him being under the covering of Abraham. So everything God told Abraham, Lot was enjoying it. One time, Lot now felt like he was matured enough. He now told Abraham he wanted to separate himself. He took some certain properties that wouldn't belong to Abraham and he left. Guess what? He was attacked. Everything he had, stolen. Somehow he came back. Abraham helped him again. Then he went to another city called Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story, isn't it? Stayed there. Do you know when God, when Satan wanted to destroy the city? Of course. Satan, before Satan does something, it's because the edge has been broken. They were in sin. They were sleeping men and men, gazing. So Satan saw it as right. He had a right to destroy such people. But of course, except God grants permission. But you know, it was a law in the spirit. When you break the edge, what will happen? The serpent will strike. And God was asked, he said, if I can find any righteous person in that city, Satan will have no right to do anything. He said, one. I'm looking for one. You know, the guy thought it was 50. He was the one asking God. He said, what if you find 50? God said, no problem. Because he thought it was about the numbers. No, it was about the righteousness of God. He said, 20. No problem. He said, 2. No, he said, what if I find one? God said, no problem. It will not be destroyed. He said, the power of the righteous were the salt of the earth. A city set upon the hill, we cannot be hidden. Whether they like it or not, we are the one sustaining this earth. It would have been destroyed. It's not a joke. Hey, Nigeria, blah, blah, blah. It is Christianity sustaining this nation. If you don't know, check from the Bible. What then happened? Do you know it was Abraham, God asked for permission to even keep Lot protected. It was Abraham. It was through Abraham, God had to save Lot again. After all the foolishness Lord did, God had to come to Abraham. That's why we tell you, whether you are in Christ, some of you, your destiny are only revealed in other people's destiny. It's the truth. It's the truth. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
very important. Let me try to close. I didn't even sit down. I thought I was going to sit down. You know, anytime chaos comes, you question visions. For instance, John the Baptist. He knew that Jesus was the Lord. But remember, something happened. He was in prison. Isn't it? And he was waiting for Jesus to come and save him. The Bible said he had to send the disciples to go and ask, are you the Messiah? Or should we wait for another? Because of the chaos, his vision was what? Blur. But listen, why do you think John the Baptist died? The Bible said John the Baptist came in the spirit of who? In the spirit of who? In the spirit of who? Of all men born of women. Have you seen anybody that killed Elijah in his time? Huh? Did you see anybody that killed Elijah in his time? Everybody was scared of Elijah. Elijah can call down fire and finish people. The thing Jesus refused to do in Luke 9. People were scared when they heard the word Elijah. And he came in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah. In the Old Testament, people used to walk. We used to walk in the mantles dimension. In the New Testament, we walk in the name of Jesus. Not with mantles. So it was a possibility in the Old Testament. Somebody who had the anointing of Elijah upon his life still died. They cut his head off. Why? He was offended at Jesus. He was offended. Situation caused him to be offended. Are you listening? And he died. I was telling my wife, I said, if this man knew who he was, if he really understood who he was, he would have not died like that. Because we can always say it's not God's will. It's never God's will that they plug off his head. It's the truth. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. Psalms 91 from verse 4 and 5. Maybe we'll read from verse 1. I'm about to close. It said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Next part of scripture. He says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Next part of scriptures. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Next part of scriptures. It then says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your what? Buckler. When vision is visible to you, it works like a buckler. It gives you confidence. The word truth there in Hebrew means light. His light shall become your what? Shield. His light shall become your what? Buckler and your shield. There's a part of the Bible that said, when your eyes is flooded with light, when your eyes is filled with light, so your whole body is flooded afterwards. Hallelujah to Jesus. Before we try to conclude, one of the things that kill vision is wrong association and of course wrong words. If you look at 1 Kings 19, that Elijah we just spoke about was scared. Why was he scared? Jezebel said, I want to kill him. Jezebel asked for him to be dead. The Bible said Elijah was scared and he ran away from the city. Why? He heard the wrong words. By traveling somewhere. In Joshua 6 and 1. Remaining small. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the train of Israel. None went out and none came in. Next part of scripture. I hope you understand verse 1. See it in the Amplified rendition. Give me in the Amplified so that people understand better. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given it up from verse 1. Now Jericho, a fortified city with high walls, was tightly closed because of the people's fear of the sons of what? Israel. No one what? Went out, nor what? Came in. This is the same city that was making Israelites scared. Next part of scripture. See what the Bible said. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho. I have given Jericho into your hand with its kings and mighty warriors. Israelites were scared of these people. They even locked the city away from Israelites. And God told Jericho. He didn't tell the king. He told Joshua. He said, Jericho, I have given Jericho to you with his kings and mighty warriors. And of course, he now gave him a pseudocode that was so funny. He said, around the city how many times? Blowing trumpet. And it will become your city. See the power of vision. He said, see, I have what? Given you. You have to see it. He said what? See, I've given you. Seed, I've given you. I said one time, before I continue, I said if we want the kingdom of God to really be expanded in this city, it is through our local church who can vet that reality, isn't it? How many of you want 1,000 people to be added to the kingdom? You want 2,000 people to be added to the kingdom? You want your friends to know what you know? You want your families to know what you know? The hard work starts with a vision. See it. Have a vision. Put out a vision for us. Jesus, my vision. Put it. Maybe some of you have never seen it before. I want everybody to read the vision as a close. Want to go? You see that? All men, not some men. Somebody say all men. Not what? You have to read this every time so that you understand that you are part of making this vision come to pass. Now we have something we call our mission statement. Let's see it again. Want to go? Our strategy. Hallelujah. The Bible says, read the vision so that you run with the vision. Are you seeing that you are part of the vision? How many of you are equipped? So your confession will be different. Can we have more than 1,000 people sit in this church next time? Joshua 14:6. Then the tribe of the sons of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal. Are we there? Let's read. One to go as we close. One to go, everyone. It said, then the tribe of the sons of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, you know the word which the Lord has said to Moses the man of God concerning me and you in Kadesh. Next part of scripture, verse 7. It then says, I was 40 years old when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scour the land of Canaan, and I brought a report back to him as it was in my heart. He said the report I brought was according to what was in my heart. The Bible said, let the eyes of your heart be what? Enlightened. Don't use your normal eyes to vex us entering into the reality of what we have been prophesying. See from your heart. If I say you, the word of the Lord came to them through who? Moses, the man of God. Is that not what we read? God sent his word through Monarch. God has sent his word through Simon, the prophet of God. And he said, we can grow our church to 1,000. We can go. I can't hear you talking, church. We can grow our church to 2,000. Is that possible? And it's not about the numbers. It's about getting people impacted with this wisdom. Imagine 2,000 people seated in this place with this understanding. Imagine how joyful will it be in heaven. Imagine how our city will be then into a righteous nation. Imagine how cities, areas, different streets in this town will be cleansed. Are you listening to me? There should be no fear in your heart. See it. Tell somebody, I see it. God is working this through me. Shout, he said, God is working this through me. He was 40. Do you know he was speaking from when he was 80 now? Now he's 80. The vision kept him alive and strong. He saw it. He believed it. God said, you and Joshua, you will see it. The rest that didn't believe it will not see it. Do you believe it? Do you know when they came back with the report as it was in their heart? The Bible said, not like they saw. He said, truly we are like grasshoppers. He said, but because the Lord has said, now keep on reading, you'll see it. Let's go of scripture. It says, my brothers, fellow spies who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God completely. That's why I was not scared. I believe God to the uttermost. Let's go of scripture. It then says, so Moses swore an oath to me on that day, saying, be assured that the land on which your foot has walked in, what will be an inheritance to you and to your children always. Because you have followed the Lord, my God, completely. Even your children will enjoy this life you are living right now. Your children. You will not give birth to foolish children. No, you will not. Your children will love the Lord. Next part of scripture. Then it says, and now look, the Lord has let me leave just as he said. These 40 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now look at me, I'm 85 years old today. He was 85, yet he saw the manifestation of what the Lord said, because the vision was still alive in his heart. There was a part that said the people took up stones and said, what did you say? I hope we don't have those kind of people in church today. Learn to change some of your friends. Or encourage your friends. There are some of you that don't like evangelism. What kind of a Christian are you? I gave this advice yesterday in leadership meeting. Please listen before we close. Oh boy, what are you playing? Play funk if you don't know how to play. You are making even me want to sleep. I gave this advice yesterday. Play funk. Eh? Enjoy yourself. At least if we are hearing funk, nobody will sleep. If any one of you here, tell yourself, how many, we are over 200 to something whatsoever. If 200 of us say we're going to bring 10 people to church every Sunday, how many will that be? Huh? There was a time this man was not in church. Come, two of you. Let me just use two of you anyhow. These two people were not in church before. There was a time. Donald and Richard. Hope you know. This is one of our strongest members. One of our strongest members. This one is from Abia. This one is from Lagos. But his village is in Benue State. He's an Igede man. From Obi, right? Oju. Hallelujah to Jesus. This one, his village is in Imo. How did we get this man? God sent this man there to go and do service. This one I want to marry. Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter was preaching. Yes. He was preaching. Every morning. Who was the first person that stopped you from preaching? Whatever. Stopped you. But this man was an unbeliever at that time. He said this man was still following girls at that time and the rest. So, let him see you well, please. No, you can glory over your weakness because you are not there again. Do you understand? This one was still doing bad things that time. He was not born again. In the corpus whatsoever. But somehow he had conscience because he's a good person. He came from a Christian home. So when they were shouting for this person to stop preaching, one gay guy, according to what he said, was shouting on him. He even called me and said, Pastor, I said, keep on preaching. There's what we call stubborn faith sometimes. That thing, you just draw it from your lineage, Elijah. You just tap it from Elijah small. It's called stubborn faith. When people are angry that you are preaching, you must preach. Your anger will subdue them. I used to have one pastor that time on campus. They were telling him to stop preaching. He told my friend, sit down in the name of Jesus and hear the word of God. It's called stubborn faith. It's needed sometimes. Hallelujah. You know, all of us will not be the same. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God will raise some people with stubborn faith. And the people sat down quietly and they finished teaching and left them. But if that guy was not there, they would have pursued them in the place. So he kept on preaching with fire. Then the preaching touched this one. What? He was in the room one day, maybe thinking of a babe. Then the thing hit him. Pop! And I said, cry! He now went and met this man. And they led him to Christ, baptized him in the Holy Ghost, started praying in tongues. This one now became a preacher again in that same lodge where he was bringing this thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That same lodge, he became a preacher. Two of them now became preachers. They now had a great sale there and touched a lot of people. This man now said, what I saw from you is so much. I can't just leave it there in that city. I want to follow you to where you got it. This man now said, I will change my location. He took his things and followed this man back to Benue. I tell you the truth. He now called Benue his home because of what he heard. He said, God has told me that I should walk here. So he's in Benue state now as an Igbo man, walking here, and doesn't mind if he marries a thief lady or an Idaba lady. Because of what God told him and what happened. Imagine this man never evangelized. He's one of our strongest leaders now. Imagine this man never evangelized. We will get this person. How can you tell? How can you calculate it? There's no way until you have what? Evangelize. There are a lot of people there who are strong people with God. You are the ones thinking they are bad boys. See, you know one thing I've learned with bad boys? They are very soft boys. Most of them are trying to belong. They don't have any mind. You know, I told you about a young man I beat one time while I was still a born again, but not really a born again like that. He came to the compound while we were students. I was shouting, ah, yes, man. And when I came out, I said, why are you shouting in our compound? He said, who goes you? I looked at him. He was just looking like something I can squeeze. So I said, are you okay? Keep your mouth shut. And I said, my friend, then he hit me on the chest. Bah! Then I held him in the name of Jesus. And I packed him in the name of the Holy Spirit. And when he went down, I told him, hey, don't joke with me. Jesus loves you. Oh my God. Then I told my compound people, is this the kind of people you call cultists? You know, I grew up in the barrack. And that was just like child's play to me. What's in threat? Hallelujah to Jesus. And I said to them, I said, this one, what carried him to enter this kind of life? He can't even protect himself. He was high on drugs. He thought he was big like the drugs. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, when you take drugs, you think you are there, but you are still here. When they slap you, now realize, I'm actually here. Oh, I'm not Goliath. I'm David. I entered somewhere to preach. They were smoking Indian hemp. Smoking. The Holy Spirit said, enter. I said, no. Most of you can be there. Imagine God telling you to enter where people are smoking. I argued that and I finally entered. Then I started preaching. I said, can I talk to you? They say yes. So while I was preaching, they were consciously blowing it in my face. So I kept on preaching. I didn't know my preaching was entering like five of them there. While I was done, I said, now I want to leave. In fact, in my heart, I said, nobody will stand up. No problem. At least I've preached. Five people raised their hand. They want to be born again. Five people, not one. Five people. I led them to Jesus. As I was going, one followed me to my house. He started crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, God specially sent me to him in that place. I said, why? He said, many years ago, he failed and his father insulted him. So he made up his mind that since his father said he's useless, he's actually useless. That's how he started smoking. I said, that's the only reason you started smoking? Look at the soft mind. They just say you are useless. There are some of us, they've told failure. We are still preaching. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? It's such a soft, very soft heart. They just say useless. You carry your bag and started smoking. What if our father was your father? And some of you know what I'm talking about. From that day, I found out that these people are soft. One time I was washing my car, another one came and was smoking in my front. So I started talking haphazardly. He asked me for money. I knew he wanted to buy. I now removed 500 as a take. So he was so shocked as I gave 500. Many of them now gathered because the one that shares money has arrived. So he gathered. And while we were talking, just conversing, I was using vernacular. We were joking vernacularly, and I started preaching in vernacular. So as I was talking, I could see them gazing into my eye. Then I said, can I lead you people to Christ? They all raised their hands to receive Jesus. I was so shocked. Most of these people are soft people, very soft people. How many times have I preached and Yahoo boys strong? If they are strong minds, why did they come to repent? They are soft people. I've seen Yahoo boys countless times come and repent. In fact, these days there's scarcely no place I go to that Yahoo boy will not follow me outside. And what one told me is that we're collecting the money they stole from our fathers. I said, which of your father did they steal money from? Hallelujah to Jesus. Go into the world, Jesus said, and what? Make disciples. You all bring 10, this church will be full to the brim. Anything you want to do, it will be easy. And you see, one thing with God is that everything you need is in following instructions. Do you know that if we are 2,000, what we can do as 200, we'll do easy as 2,000? If as 2,000 I want to raise 2 million, how much will it be? As 200 I want to raise 2 million, how much will it be? We are building now. Hope you know we are building. Is our picture there, the land pictures? Huh? Try to see how you can show them on the screen. But I've come to the end of the service. Imagine as 200 people were trying to raise 2,000. How much will that be? Good master, do it for us. Huh? 200 trying to raise 2 million, how much would that be? Huh? 10,000, right? 10,000. As 2,000, imagine you want to raise 2 million. How much would that be? Huh? Hey, church, answer me now. When it comes to money, you will just be looking at someone. I'm not saying you should bring money. Look at me. How much? 1,000. So which one is easier? When we are 2,000 or when we are 200? You see that? I'm not saying we're carrying them, getting people for money. No, I'm saying it will be even easier to fulfill God's will with a lot of people. If we're going to our way street to preach now, 200 people cannot do what 1,000 people can do. If 2,000 people enter our way street, everybody will come to church the next day. They can't escape the evangelism. As they are trying to escape, another person is catching you. Say, my friend, wait. Another will say, wait, my guy. We'll preach to everybody. But the enemy has come to what? To what? To what? One time I said, let me do gargajiya preaching. I asked a guy, if you smoke, womanize. Drink all the alcohol. The end of everything is what? I said, firstly, in this world, you destroy your system. Secondly, when you destroy your system, you go to hell. I said, where is the flexing? You know, before I became fully born again, when I became born again, God told me something. He said, vision all the enjoyment you want to do. The end of the enjoyment is still vanity. Vision the end of all of you thinking you want to flex. Vision it. Your role will only live once. And piano. Vision the end of all the flexing is vanity. It is only in Jesus you find satisfaction. No matter how you smoke, tomorrow you want to smoke. If you take 20 cigarettes, stick of cigarettes, tomorrow you still want to smoke. Am I lying? Ah, it's the truth. If you take shekbe today, tomorrow too you want to take shekbe. Am I lying? If you follow, have you heard of somebody that slept with 400 women? Huh? Hey people, answer me now. You heard of a man that slept with 400 women? Do you think that man was satisfied? They just caught him. He was not satisfied. If they didn't catch that man by now, he would have reached 1,400. There's no satisfaction there. You slept with one woman. Two women, three women, 400. In fact, my wife was telling me one, I'm still struggling to believe, that a young man made over 1,000 women HIV positive. Yes, he slept with 1,000 women. When he heard that he was HIV positive, he increased. He started sleeping with women so that he can spread the disease. When they asked him, how many people have you slept? He said, 1,000 and more. That he just goes to the street. If you see a prostitute, he's sleeping. If you say a righteous person, anybody that is just sleeping, he sleeps. He still did not find satisfaction. Only in Jesus will you find satisfaction. He's the bread that when you eat, you are what? Satisfied. Lastly, if you want to enjoy Christianity, just don't just be coming to church. I know some of you say, Pastor, you don't talk lastly like 7 times now. This is the lastly. Don't just be coming to church. I'm so sorry. This is Vision Sunday. It's one service. Right? Understand with me. Amen. Hey, look at me. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
What was I saying before I said I apologize? Yes, don't just be coming to church. You want to enjoy this Christian work? Huh? Do evangelism. Do praying. When last did you pray 3 hours? That's the fun of Christianity. Say, no, it's hard work. It's not hard work. If you pray in the spirit 3 hours, your eyes will be open to possibilities in the spirit. You'll be walking and feel like talking to people. You see yourself evangelizing and you are happy. All my birthdays that I remember myself as a Christian, I did it in areas evangelizing. Till my last birthday, I just drove to one place, a little bit outside Makurdi. That's where I went to preach with Now What. That's how I do my birthdays. That's the only place I find. I can't just sit down. You are giving me, you know, I don't say this often, but these are the little, some of the little things I do as a pastor. Are you listening to me? This is the fun of Christianity. You will not know how weak you are until you evangelize. You will not know how strong you are until you evangelize. If you feel weak, you will pray and become strong. If you are strong, you will see it as you evangelize. It's the fun of Christianity. Join a department and serious with what? Evangelism. Are you listening to me, all of you?
Yes, sir.
Probably some of you are bringing us a Donald and a Richard. Are you listening to me? Can we make the vision come alive? We are all part of making this a reality. We raised him. He won this. Who brought you to church? Miss Betty, Miss Agatha brought him to church. You can imagine. Astonishing. Who have you brought to church? Huh? Just mention names. Mr. Victor, Miss Destiny. Where is Destiny? If I'm calling you, stand up. Victor is a duck. I don't think he had a chance today to come. Benjamin? Miracle? Where is Benjamin? Where is Miracle? On the camera. You can see. See how the chain is going, like a chain reaction. Who have you brought to church? Huh? Who is who? Rosemary. Where is Rosemary? They are dragging your cup. Say it's you and somebody. They are dragging the person you brought. Rosemary, who have you brought to church? Huh? Stand up if they brought you to church. You brought her? Amazing. Benjamin, who have you brought to church? Yourself? Eh? Which Victor? Abu Mamaki. They brought you to church. You brought your younger brother. At least you brought somebody. No problem. Destiny, who did you bring to church? Stand up if they call your name. Are you seeing the reaction? Divine comfort. See how beautiful. See how beautiful it is. Who have you brought to church? Okay, he brought you. Who did you bring to church? Your brother. You might have brought your brother. Who did you bring to church? Nobody yet. See where they stop. God has not helped them yet. They have to push. The chain reaction stopped there. That's how it is with everybody here. Am I lying? Why have you brought to church? All these people that like prayer don't used to bring people to church. Who have you brought to church? Is it not you that brought Miriam? They just came. Miriam, is it courage that brought you to church? They just came. I'm telling you what I know. And even Miriam herself have not brought. Who have you brought to church? You are praying for souls. That's how it is. You see this prayer department? Stand up. Prayer department. They think when they are praying, they are fulfilled destiny. You see now, astonishing prayer department. This one is prayer department himself. He brought his brother. Brother, who have you brought? You brought him too. You see. You can be seated. Did you see that? Tite, who have you brought to church? Your brother. The Bible said, if you are neither cold nor hot, our word, speech. He said, if you are not for me, you are the enemy. Tite. What did the Bible say about you? Sit down. Lastly, people of God, this is our land. We have come to the end. It is 150 by 100. Amen. And we want to start building it. Are we? If you have been in this church with us, we are not trying to brag, but you'll be funny if you think we'll get your money here to do anything personal. You'll be funny. I'm sure some of you here can remember me, even if you are not in this church. You can remember me from campus if you're a BSU student. Isn't it? If you look at what God has done from campus this to today, you will understand that beyond even the grace of God, there's good management. Am I saying the right thing? We got this land, both of them, for over 17 million. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is opposite NMPC headquarters, the big one here, by this Otupo Road. It's behind, beside Commissioner Quarters, behind that polo club. Are we together? So this is one part of the land, and there's another part. Is it possible to show the other part? Okay, this other part is a video. So we have even written here. This is the other part. This is first sight. The first one we just showed you is demarcation. And when you turn to the other side, we did something for parking. We bought another one for your cars because we know you buy cars. Show the second one. Yes. Are we in the second one? Okay, this is the second one. Is a hundred just beside it. This is 100 by 100. Are we together? And that's 150 by 100. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now it's time to start building. And we're not saying kill yourself to be able to give to build. No. We're just saying be serious with serving God. As we are serious, the money will come. As we are committed, the money will come. Are we together? As we go out winning souls and numbers are added to us, the money will come. Are you listening to me? And of course, we'll not just be saying the money will come. We will start from us to invite. As we have, as God has helped us, we'll what? We'll give. And that's why we have several systems like partnership in church, like our offerings in church, like our tithes in church. All of these things add up to everything we are doing here today. Are we together? Are we together? Are you excited? Shout glory! And of course, these are the accounts to keep on giving. Most of you have the accounts. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lastly, before we go, we're going to pray. But lastly, before we go, we're starting something in Abuja in the first week of August. This year, God has told us to raise people. So what are we doing this year? We're raising people. Raising people. So God has told us to extend our wings to Abuja. How many of you are students who live in Abuja? Students, but you based in Abuja. Can I see your hands up? Alright, so good news. Church is extended to the scope of Abuja. And we have a lot of folks there already who graduated as students, but they couldn't really stay here. And they are there. So first week of August, we're going to have our first service there. Hallelujah to Jesus. We're going to have our first service in Abuja. The location, we can't tell you now, but there's a location. Are we together? Of course, as leaders, every departmental leader, you're supposed to see me in my office after service. Departmental cell leaders and etc. HODs, pastors, just come to the office immediately after service. Is that okay? Yes, be in the office with me. And all of you, make sure this becomes a reality. And this month again, we're starting a campaign called 10 Souls Campaign. 10 Souls Campaign. It's not here. We forgot to design that flyer, but we had said it from last week, isn't it? So what is the mandate? Everybody, for the whole month of February, you are expected to plant 10 people in church. Is that okay? Yes, sir. It's an assignment. Like Joshua Moses gave the children of Israel, I'm giving you the assignment. Plant how many people in church? 10 people in church. Make it your responsibility. It's not about planting them in church. Get them born again. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I give you the assignment. You get them filled with the Holy Spirit. If you can. Except if you can't. Are we together? Bring them to church. Get them discipled. Follow them up till they are planted in the house of God. For the whole month of what? February. Your HODs will take the report beginning from them. They will give you their report and take your report. Are we together? So at the end of February, if all of us win 10 souls, we're over 200 here or more. How many people will we have from 200 people at the end of the month? Huh? How many people? Say it again. 2,000. So is 10 souls hard for you? The most influential daughter of Prophet Simon, like you said, is 20 souls so hard for you? You know, I saw one of our statues. Maybe Gadus with this. It's like the most influential has been influenced. Hallelujah. I couldn't stop laughing in the room. I say, so you are Gadus. Amen. So get that done. Is that okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Our lives are transformed as we hear your word. Our lives can never remain the same. As we have had the capacity to make it a reality instead on our inside. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' gracious name, amen.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.